Good evening. Continue on with where we started this morning, considering a little bit about some aspects of God's grace. And just for those who perhaps didn't hear this morning, just a little bit of a review before we get to where we are tonight. Been thinking recently about the whole idea of God's grace and just being, I guess, captured anew about the wonder of it all, of how God graciously stoops to save us and to give us the strength that we need to live lives for Him. And it was all based on a verse that I had come across and read several times, but not really stopped and meditate on, out of 2 Corinthians 9:8, where it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." That God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And just began thinking about the grace of God and some different aspects of the grace of God at work in the lives of the believer. And had to stop and just to not let it become a familiar term that we can so easily rattle off about God's grace, and how we can sing about the marvelous grace, and we can sing about amazing grace, and sometimes we're just singing words, and how we need to stop from time to time and to go back over the whole idea of God's grace toward us, and let and to be captured anew the wonder of the whole idea there. And we define grace this morning as extending favor or kindness to one who doesn't deserve it and can never earn it. That's what grace is. It's God stooping to extend favor and kindness to us who do not deserve it and never can earn it. It's being favor is being extended simply out of the goodness of the heart of the giver. It's because God desired to do this. And it is a free gift, absolutely and totally free. Not that we've merited it in any way, but that God, out of the goodness of His heart and out of His love for us and the great mercy that He desires to show, has extended grace. And we talked a little bit about the four aspects of grace that we want to consider. We got through a couple of them this morning. Saving grace, living grace, strengthening grace, and sustaining grace. And that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface if you want to do a study through God's Word about the grace of God. We spent some time this morning, the majority of the time, talking about God's saving grace and how He, how that this salvation and the saving grace is a divine work, that its source is in God, that no matter what mankind can devise and come up with as far as, quote, religions or cults or whatever you want to call it, it's generally man-centered. How man can be good enough and work his way into salvation or to heaven. And we found out that that's just not so. God's Word tells us that salvation is due to His grace alone, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, if we want to be honest with ourselves, that there's nothing that we can do, that there's nothing good enough in us to merit salvation. But that's what God's Word says, that it's a divine work. It finds its source in God. And God, in His mercy, extends His grace to us, even while we're sinners. And that this salvation, this saving grace, is apart from man's efforts. And as we looked through God's Word this morning, we found out that absolutely there is absolutely nothing that we can do, and there's no way that we can ever be good enough or do enough good works to merit that salvation. That is totally by God's grace, what He has done for us. It's apart from man's efforts. So we discussed a little bit about how salvation, the saving grace, is a free gift. That if we got what we deserved, it would be judgment. And it would be God exercising His judgments. He is just in doing so. That what we deserve, because we are all sinners, is death. but that God in His grace has extended eternal life as a gift through what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary's cross. That God, who is rich in mercy, as Paul said in Ephesians, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And we looked a little bit about God's saving grace this morning and how God made this possible by pouring out His wrath on sin on a substitute, His Son, on Calvary's cross. And how He made Him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. And if we stopped and thought about that for a while, I think maybe we'd just begin to get a little bit of a grasp and a little bit of an idea of what God has done in His grace. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And how that God defined love, or in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that when Christ died on Calvary's cross, He totally and completely satisfied God's wrath against sin and His judgment against sin in full, in total. That's why He said from the cross, "It is finished." Because the payment had been made in full. That's God's grace. And it's as we exercise faith in what Christ has done on Calvary's cross that we can partake of salvation. It's totally unmerited. It's favor from God through His mercy and His grace. Then we talked a little bit this morning also about what I term living grace. And we pointed out that as we think about salvation, God points out an impossible situation, and that there's no way that we can earn or merit salvation because we're all sinners and because we all deserve death and judgment from God. And pointed out also that after He pointed out that impossibility, He made the impossible possible through what Christ did on Calvary's cross. He provided salvation through grace. And then we talked a little bit about living grace this morning, about how after we're saved, that Scripture points out and admonishes us to live a life that's honoring to the one who saved us and died for us. Over and over, you can read such things by Paul as, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called." You can find that in many of his epistles, that he is urging believers to walk a life that's worthy and live a life that's worthy of the one who saved us and died for us. But as we stopped and thought about that for a little bit, we found out that's an impossibility too. Since we can not save ourselves by our own merits and own good works, there's no way in our own strength that we can ever live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. It's an impossibility. And that's where God's grace steps in again. He points out that we are to do the impossible again. We're to live lives that are holy and blameless before Him. And once we realize that that's an impossibility, God in His grace shows us how it is possible through Him, because He's given us His Holy Spirit to live within us, to direct us and guide us and teach us, and to help us to live those types of lives. As we yield to Him by faith, appropriate the strength that we need to live a life that's honoring to Him. And how that also is a divine work in our lives. That God is making the impossible possible once again. And it's a free gift. That He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He gives us all that we need to live a life that's honoring to Him. And as Peter said, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So we talked a little bit about living grace and how God is taking an impossible situation again and making it possible by His grace, by giving us the indwelling Holy Spirit who allows us to do the impossible. You know, God in every situation in life provides for us just what we need. And it's all as a result of His grace toward us. His desire is for us to be conformed into the image of the Son that He loves. And He does this by working in us through His grace. And He provides us all that we need to make that transformation. It's when we respond in such a way as realizing that we need to present ourselves as living sacrifices to Him and to follow His word obediently and to live by the strength that He can give us, then we are partaking of living grace, grace that allows us to live lives that are honoring to Him. And that strength, I might point out, is needed all of our life, all of our life. And I think it's especially needed when we're confronted with the temptations and traps that are found around us in this world. You know, it would be easier, and someone has said this before, it's not anything that's new with me, it would have been easier if at the moment that we were saved, that we were changed to be perfect and taken to heaven. That would have been a lot easier. Been a lot quicker, too. Wouldn't have to go through everything that you go through in life. But that doesn't happen. It would be easier for God to just take us home to heaven immediately after salvation, but it just doesn't happen that way. And that means that we have to face life's trials and life's temptations. And as we look around us today, we see that even in this country, particularly in this country, since we're familiar with here, that the temptations and the things that are out there, traps that are laid for us, are becoming more and more numerous. So how do we handle that? How do we have what we need? How do we can't, in our own strength, overcome those temptations. But again, we'll see that God has provided a way for us through His grace. We find that over in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And here we want to talk a little bit about strengthening grace. Titus chapter 2, let's start with verse 11, read down through verse 13. Or even 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Strengthening grace. Again, we're faced with an impossible situation as we look at the world around us. And I think it's important here that God links the strength that we need to say no to ungodliness and to live holy lives with His grace. Did you catch that in verse 11 and 12? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. God's grace here is linked with the strength that we need to live a life that's honoring to Him and to say no to temptations. Growing up in the chapel in southern West Virginia, a lot of times we used to sing the hymn, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin." How God will strengthen you, and He will enable you to stand in the difficult situations. Well, have you ever faced situations in your life when you were really unsure how to respond? Have you ever been in situations where you were tempted to give in to the sinful ways of the world around you, to just go along with the crowd? I remember thinking through my teen years that it sure would be nice getting out of my teens when all this, quote, peer pressure would be out of the way. Doesn't happen, does it? Nobody told me that. It's not fair. But it's every bit as bad as you grow older, as you are out in the workplace. There's no way that we can avoid being in the world. There's no way. So that means that pressure to give in and to conform to the world is always going to be there. Have you ever found yourself drifting along with the crowd and wanting to respond in a way that wasn't pleasing to the Lord? I know I've found myself in that situation. After all, everybody does it, right? Well, it wouldn't hurt to lie a little bit in this situation, would it? It's not really cheating. After all, isn't all truth relative? How many times have we heard that? You know, what's wrong in a certain situation for one person necessarily isn't wrong for everybody else. How many times have we heard that? We face these temptations, these trials, all of our life. How do we handle it? How do we respond and stand up to the pressure? Well, the strength isn't in and of ourselves to stand up under that pressure, that's for sure. If we relied on our own strength, we're going to quickly fall. It's a divine work. Strengthening grace is a divine work of God that allows us to say no to the wrong situations in the world. How do we find the strength to say to our boss that we won't lie for him or cheat for him to cover him? I remember years ago working in radio. The first couple of radio stations I worked for were not Christian stations. And in one of the situations, we had a new general manager come in. And he was trying to get on everybody's good side, of course, and he found out I was a believer. Oh, yeah, he's a believer, too. He lived for the Lord, and he was an upright person. But I found out that sometimes that was just words only. There'd be many a times when the phone would ring, and I'd answer the phone, and there'd be someone asking for him specifically, and he'd say, well, tell them I'm not here. So what do? How do you respond to that? Do you go ahead and say, well, he's not here because you're taking an order from your superior? Or do you say, well, yeah, he is here. Let me get him for you. I found out that after the first couple of times, if I knew that he was in the office and I answered the phone and I said, well, yes, he is here. Just a moment, I'll get him for you. Then I could go ahead and tell the boss, well, I've already told him you are here. So someone else is going to have to tell him that you aren't. I wasn't very popular with him for a while. And I finally told him, look, I know that you are my boss, and I know that I'm to follow what you say, but I can't lie for you. I won't do that. Now, the strength for me to do that wasn't in myself, because I was a relatively new person there anyway. And you never know in a situation when you might find yourself unemployed real quick. And I was relatively young then, too. But it's a divine work in our life, isn't it? The strength doesn't come in and of ourselves. It's as the Lord works in our lives. It is the grace of God at work in our life that teaches us and strengthens us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It's only by the grace of God that we can respond in a way that's pleasing to Him. And it's as we realize that we're waiting on the fulfillment of salvation, the completion of salvation, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And to realize that we'll finally be all that He's promised us that we will be. And as we realize that and face these situations, the Lord will give us the strength that we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. He will be the one that will strengthen us. And He will be the one that will finally redeem us out of all this mess. And we will be His own special people, purified and complete in Him. And it's a free gift. Just as saving grace and living grace is a gift made possible by God, so is the strengthening grace to face tough situations and the temptations that this world and Satan can bring our way. We can live in the world and not be overcome by the world, not be consumed or overwhelmed, when we realize that all by the grace of God we have all that we need to respond properly in a situation, even when our own flesh and strength we would do otherwise. It's a supernatural work, a divine work in our life. It's a free gift that God enables us to respond in such a way. So the next time you find yourself facing a difficult situation like that, just remember that God's Word tells us that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and strengthens us to do so, to live lives that are honoring to Him. And we need to, by faith, claim that strength that we need to say no to those difficult situations. even when it would be a lot easier to say yes. Well, God in His grace provides the impossible in every situation of life. Salvation is an impossibility without the grace of God. So is living the Christian life and responding properly to temptations that are around us. But what about facing life's hard times and difficult situations? The difficulties, the pains. How does God's grace apply here? What about when a person develops cancer or goes through a painful time in his life where the bottom drops out and you don't know where to go? What about when the job ends and life gets confusing? Where does God's grace come in then? He's promised He's going to meet us at our every need. You know, Paul found the answer to what happens when the bottom drops out and when life gets painful and difficult and it's hard to go on. We'll be studying on Wednesday night, several weeks, I guess, from now, Lord willing. It's over in 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, just a chapter earlier, you find out all that Paul had gone through. And as we look at his life, you know, the things that we go through sometimes seem a lot easier. But Paul went through a lot of difficulties. Paul had been scourged, beaten with rods, shipwrecked, suffered hunger and other perils that we may never face. And when he faced a difficulty that was overpowering and overwhelming to him, he found that God met him there with His grace. That's in chapter 12, starting at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul here faced a situation that in his own strength he could not handle. This thorn, this messenger of Satan that buffeted him, was more than he could take. Did you notice what he said there concerning this thing in verse 8? I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. That's a serious situation. That's something that's very hard to handle. So much so that Paul was pleading that the situation might be changed. Well, have you faced a similar situation? Maybe not as drastic as seemingly what we read here about Paul, but a difficult situation nonetheless. A problem or an illness or other situation that is beyond your strength to endure? You can find what Paul found out, that God's grace is sufficient where your strength is deficient. You know, I can't help but thinking through this, and as we think of some modern-day equivalents of Johnny Erickson Tata, you know that she's been in that wheelchair for 30 years? 30 years. And as a young teenager, a diving accident caused her to become a quadriplegic. Now, don't you think that over the 30 years that she's asked the Lord to remove this from her? And don't you think it's difficult day after day to get up and go on in that situation? But you know something? When I hear her broadcast each day when I'm at work, I hear evidence of the grace of God at work in her life. What did Paul say, and what I'm sure that Johnny has learned and can quote, and maybe this is one of her favorite verses. Verse 9 of chapter 12, My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Here God is again taking an impossible situation and making it possible through His grace. Sustaining grace. With God's divine help and sustaining grace, we can face any situation that life throws at us. God's grace is always sufficient. Always. There's never an end to it. There's never a situation that we can face that God's grace is not sufficient for. I know I'm not supposed to end a sentence in a preposition, but there's no situation that we can face where God's grace is not sufficient. God's grace is always sufficient. It is a divine work in the life of a believer. It's a divine work that God wants to do for us when it's needed. You know, others have faced situations where God's grace sustained them with His that God's grace has sustained them through that difficult situation. If you spend much time reading Christian biographies, you'll come across quite a few of them. If you've not read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's a book full of illustrations of the grace of God in the most difficult situations, even when the believers were facing the end of life itself, sometimes in a very difficult way. And other individuals, you know, we pointed out Johnny Erickson Tata. One that comes to my mind again is Corrie Ten Boom. And maybe we've read the book The Hiding Place, or we've heard her story. Well, she and her sister Betsy were captives in Nazi Germany in World War II. They were imprisoned where there was disease and death and brutality and all kinds of other things that we can't even imagine what it's like to go through. And they survived it day by day because of God's grace. They were able to tell many of the women at the time of the saving grace and the sustaining grace of God. And looking through that book again last night as I was preparing my notes, I noted at the time when Betsy was about to die, she courageously told Corrie to continue on the work that they had started, telling others, telling the other women that were there in that prison of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in every situation. And she could say that Corrie needed to remind them that there is no pit so deep that He is not deeper still. There's nothing that we can go through that God's grace isn't sufficient for us. And it's a free gift. You know, Paul didn't need the grace to sustain him from the thorn in the flesh until he had the thorn in the flesh. And we may not need the grace to face life's harsh realities now, but there may be some time in our life when we're definitely going to need that. God gave Paul just what he needed when he needed it. And He will do that for us as well. It was a gift of grace. God freely bestows just the right aspect of His grace on His children when they need it. And that's something that we can rejoice in the grace of God. And reading through the book again and looking through the book, The Hiding Place, about Corrie Ten Boom, when she was a little girl, she learned that life can end for anyone. And this scared her as she saw a baby that had died. And it frightened her to think that she could lose people that she loved and that she felt that she needed in life. But her father's explanation, I think, is something that ties right in to the grace of God for any situation and sustaining grace. He explained to her, "Corrie, when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket?" She responded, "Well, why, just before we get on the train." "Exactly. And our wise Father in heaven knows when we're going to need things too. Don't run out ahead of Him. When the time comes, He will look into your heart and find the strength that you need just in time." That's what God does in His grace. He provides us exactly what we need at just the right time. Well, what's the lesson then? No matter what we face, whether sickness, suffering, physical, emotional, or any types of stress that might come in our life, God will give us the grace that we need to face that situation at just the right time, when we need it the most. It's a free gift, and it's just the right gift for the right moment. And that's something that we can count on, because God has promised us in His Word that His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. You know, God's grace is sufficient for every need. We may face seemingly impossible situations in our life, but we serve a God who can do immeasurably more than we can ever imagine in any given situation. He's the God of the impossible, and He grants grace for all of life's circumstances. So we have to ask ourselves, and you have to ask yourselves, where do you need the grace of God in your life today? Are you here and in need of salvation, need of saving grace? There's a time in your life, you can't point to a time in your life when you realized that you're a sinner and that it's impossible for you to save yourself. Then you need God's saving grace. It's a gift made possible through God. What do you do to get this gift? It's the same as you do any other gift. You receive it. You willingly accept the offer that's given, and you do this by faith, knowing that God will do what He's promised that He will do. Do you need strength at this particular time to live the Christian life? And you've tried and tried and tried to do what's right, and you just find out that you can't. It's a seemingly impossible situation. Well, by faith, receive God's living grace, the grace that you need to live for Him. Are you facing trials and temptations in your life right now? Pressures that are coming on from the outside that are trying to get you to conform to what everybody else is doing. Remember, it's the grace of God that is available that helps us to say no to those particular temptations. Well, how do you get that? Again, by faith, knowing that God has promised us that He will give us what we need to respond in the proper way to those situations. Are you facing an impossibly hard situation in your life right now that seems completely overwhelming? God has promised that His grace is sufficient for all of our needs, even facing sickness, weakness, no matter what the situation, even death itself. God's grace is sufficient. You know, we often sing but seldom heed the words, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." There's a good song to meditate on, thinking about God's grace, His amazing grace. Maybe we can think about that together as we sing it together. Maybe we'll just sing it without the music this evening so we can concentrate on the words. It's number 40 in the hymn book. And as we sing, let's think of where in our lives that we need God's grace right now. A fresh suffusion of God's grace, and by faith accept that free gift that He offers for our present need. It's number 40 if you need the words. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious in that grace appear the hour I first believed. Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight, thanking you for your amazing, wonderful, wondrous grace. Grace that is far beyond our understanding and our comprehension. Lord, we know that we're not worthy of that grace, that we're not, there's not anything in us that would merit that. But because of the great love that you had for us, in your great mercy, you extended grace to us just when we needed it most. We thank you for your saving grace that we can know for sure because of what you have made possible through your grace, that we can have salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, if there is anyone here tonight that doesn't know Christ, I pray that they would receive this gift of grace tonight. And Lord, there are many times that we need your grace to strengthen us and to help us live godly lives. The strength is not in us because even our best efforts fall far short and we fail. Thank you that in all of these impossible situations, you've provided just exactly what we need through your grace. And your grace strengthens us and teaches us to say no in these temptations that we face. And your grace is sufficient for all of our needs, no matter what we have to face. Help us not to forget that. Help us as we meditate anew on the grace of God. May it just overwhelm us, and may it cause our hearts to well up with thanksgiving and praise and adoration to the one who has made it all possible. The one who is willing to die on Calvary's cross in our place, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.